Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/F-as-in-Frank-R-E-E.
Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So, welcome to the show. It's almost Thursday. And we're sitting in a place called the Starfish Bar with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of us. And from this kind of like a global audience, so let's introduce ourselves. Who's here?
This is Barbara from Brisbane, Australia.
It's almost like a round of applause.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi, I'm Paul from London.
Paul from London. Oh, yay! Yay!
Hi, I'm Ben from Canada. Kelowna, BC, whatever. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Sudi from Minneapolis.
Where are you originally from?
I'm from Iran.
Oh, yeah, see, global.
Iran. Right. Yeah. Good to have a Persian audience.
Jen from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Oh, yes. Myself from British Columbia.
I'm Michael Keezy from London,
England.
I said,
I get like one clap. What happened?
Where's my clap? I clapped for you, honey. Yeah. I did.
Okay. But your audience knows who you are.
Okay.
Sorry, Michael from London, England.
Now, So we're here. We're on a private island in Belize, and I'm going to sort of just throw it out there. So there's no plan for the show, but there's listeners. Barb, how long have you listened to the show?
Gosh, I've listened to every single podcast, so over a year.
Over a year for you?
I have listened since...
This is Michael, by the way.
Since February, since we met on Kilimanjaro, so every single podcast since then.
And you were a guest last week.
Yes.
This week, you're the guest.
Everyone's going to be getting really fed up now.
Now, that bloody Michael. Oh, he's talking about Michael again. And you've listened to how many, like, one show?
Once. I've listened to one show, and it's changed my life.
And here's your $20.
Week 50.
Ben, this is my son. How many shows have you listened to?
Well, I listened to half of one in the car.
Yeah.
And then I listened and to
I,
the
I,
one
I,
that,
I, forced
I,
you.
I had him duct taped that I was in.
Oh, that's right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, have you listened to shows?
Yes.
How
I
many
have.
Shows have you listened to?
Pretty much from the beginning.
Wow.
Yes.
And Jen, you don't listen. Well, you listen to some.
I do while I'm doing dishes and cooking dinner and when you're in the living room and I'm doing other things.
What other things do you do when I'm in the living room? Michelle, do you listen?
I've listened to 3.
Michelle's in the distance over there. So anyway, so we're here. This is the 30-minute show. I'm not sure how long it's going to last because we're in the dark here. But the actual record is very interesting because we have a technician who's worked with some of the best people in the world. This is a guy who's done the G8 Summit. He's done things for the royal family. He's some of the biggest shows on earth. And can you just describe, I won't say your last name, but describe this setup, this technical equipment, because you're an expert.
Well, we have the most fantastic portable recorder sitting on top of a wine glass, which sadly is empty. And we've lost the pop gag, which is the thing that protects the microphones from
the wind.
The
fluffy thing on the end.
Little fluffy
right?
thing, which you're all used to seeing. So we've used a condom.
So here
the
we are.
The choice of champions.
Yeah. And how did you realize that condoms work? When did you find out that a condom on the end of a recorder worked? Because there had to be a story behind that somewhere.
Well, it all started in Bangkok.
And
and the rest is history. What stays on in Bangkok stays on Bangkok. And it did stay on.
And so we had to find a sort of a condom, which not everyone carries, but Michael, you seem to have one in your room.
I did, and it was a small size. Actually, it's the brand SKYN, which apparently feels like skin.
Skin.
But I haven't had the use to try it out because it's on the top of your recorder. there's a gag in there as well.
So here we are, but seriously though, we're here. I want to talk about a little bit about your experience. So I'm really interested in your experience. Just for a second here, Paul, you were tricked onto the island.
Completely.
Tricked to mind, body, spirit. We're here at this program. Now, I'm sure the audience can tell we've drank a little bit tonight. We're all a little silly, but you were tricked here. What's happened? You've been here, what, 3 days, right?
Yeah, 3 days.
Explain a little bit about the island first, and then what's the experience been like?
Well, the island is just absolutely idyllic. I mean, it's difficult to describe how beautiful it is, and the whole atmosphere is just fantastic. In terms of the trip, I thought I was coming fishing, marlin fishing for a week.
marlin fishing. There's no marlin in these waters.
Well, that's the second mistake of this week. And so I had no expectation of the week. I knew I was coming to a workshop. I know no idea what was involved. That's been life-changing.
So really no idea, though?
Seriously no idea. I've listened to one podcast, and that's been it.
But the first day, though, were you sitting there thinking, I'm going to smack my brother in the ear, or what was going on?
Several times.
Haven't you said that it's because I said, I think you should come, and I just said, here's the ticket, just come. So I'm slightly to blame for...
So if you hadn't got a free ticket, you wouldn't have come?
You bet. I'm the only Scottish, Irish, Jewish man you've ever met.
So has there been a lesson yet for you? Just because I'm fascinated with someone who didn't want to be here. You were a little... I felt there's some resistance the first day and a half. I could see fish floating in front of you. Were you nervous, really?
Yeah, it's like all these things. I think you're managing the expectation. And I think certainly for me, I was a bit nervous because I kind of thought, what are we doing here? What's the goal? But day three, it's been a remarkable experience, absolutely remarkable.
Now, I want to ask you one other question about your... Is there any stories that we've shared at the table during dinner that you're willing to share right now about some of the things you do for a living? Because I find it fascinating that you sit and are able to observe some of the most incredible moments in history. And here you are, and you described something about the 2 billion. Can we talk about that? Is that okay?
Sure.
Talk about that.
In terms of what we do for a living, we're involved in creating shows. And the shows that we do, you tend to do just once. So it is that kind of do or die scenario. And you know, we were involved with the Olympics and last summer in London, which is an amazing experience to be part of, much more than I thought it was going to be.
Well, it was a pretty amazing Olympics, right?
It was. I think they said it was one of the top three Olympics ever in history. It was fantastic. It was in your home city.
But you actually did the opening and closing ceremony.
Well, we should state that you do all the sound.
Yeah, it was. We were responsible for delivering all the audio and communications for the 41 venues, the sporting venues, and the opening and closing ceremonies, which include the Paralympics in the main stadium.
But you describe this one moment where you're sitting in your booth, and there's this one switch, and
yeah,
that up and down switch. Well, yeah. Talk about that. I just find that fascinating.
It's one of those kind of binary, for those that know what binary means.
Two.
there's only two
Hello.
Values. But I think, you know, you do
Join
lots...
Us.
You do lots of shows, but I think with the Olympics, with the size of the audience, which I think is reported sort of 2 billion, and there was a moment 10 minutes before the show where you suddenly realise, you don't realise during rehearsals, during technical rehearsals or dress rehearsals or the process, but 10 minutes before you suddenly realise that, you know, you push this fader up, this one fader is controlling the world.
Which is like a switch for the people around the world. Like,
yeah, so this was...
slider, a little slider, right?
Correct. I mean, basically this was to do with all the broadcast to the world. So in the stadium, you have 100,000 people, and things sometimes go wrong in stadiums.
Right.
But it's the broadcast that you think, oh, if this goes wrong, it's huge.
2 billion people.
So you do. So you push up a fader that probably costs about $10, and you actually think to yourself, there are 2 billion people. 2 billion people.
Do you ever get that little devil thing going on where you think, no, I'm just going to wait? Let me bugger this thing up.
No. Sometimes, but if you want to get paid, it's best to push it up. But but no, but it's one of those do or die scenarios.
If I ask you for a sort of one moment, I mean, we talk about G8 Summit, Royal Family, we talk about the Olympics, we talk about great moments in history where you get to have this unique vantage point. Has there been one over all the others where you say this was the one? Was it the Olympics?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the Olympics by far was the moment in history. And I think you rehearse it, you keep going over it. It wasn't until the actual show happened for real, went live, that you suddenly went, wow, this is a piece of history. So it was huge in terms of being part of it. Absolutely huge.
I do want to remind the audience that even though we're getting really deep into sentiment, there still is one condom on the end of this recording. With this great man of
which is slowly deflating.
No one said we have to inflate it to get a great set. So Barb, you've come, don't touch it. That noise in the end of the recorder was Barb poking the condom. But Barb, you've come all the way from Australia to come to this little tiny island in the Caribbean, in Belize. So what was the travel like? How long was it?
I think it took me about 36 hours to get here, but I have to admit.
36?
Yeah. It might have been longer than that.
You know there's some people who live in a town where there's a great event, like 22 minutes away, and they won't go because it's a little inconvenient. You travel 36 hours to come to an event.
But you don't understand. This is David Wood.
Oh, yes. Stop.
This is
I just gave it 20 bucks. I just gave it 20 bucks.
No, he didn't. He didn't have to pay me for that. And included in that was a 14-hour layover in L.A. where I rented a car and went and got my hair cut and my nails done because
way,
I didn't have
so
time.
What do you think?
Does wow.
You're like,
See, it was worth coming to Belize just for that.
Michael, you're a man who maybe women aren't your favorite creatures on earth, but how does she look?
Well, very different to the combat gear you were wearing this afternoon. You had a camo vest on this afternoon.
I had a Hooters t-shirt on today that said Major Babe on it.
And I have to say, you look like a Major Babe this afternoon. Major Babe this evening. You've got a beautiful peach dress on.
I can go home now. You just made the whole trip worthwhile.
But Barb, getting back to you for a second, you know, this trip and why you came and what was your impression when you pulled up at the island? We're here, it's a mile long, you know, we're in this kind of marine sanctuary. But what's been your experience so far just with this? Are you whispering over at YouTube? The peanut gallery, who lost the little furry end while we're using a condom, now they're chatting in the background.
Because they were dancing the yellow brick road.
You know, David, for me, I absolutely came. I learned a long time ago, it's like going to a movie. I go in with a blank slate because I don't want to have too high expectations or too low expectations. I'm absolutely excited or I wouldn't have come all this way, but I came with a blank slate completely open to what I saw. I had an idea, don't get me wrong, but every one of them has been surpassed. I mean, it is so gorgeous here, and the water is so amazing. I've gone snorkeling. I had the chance to go snorkeling once, and I plan to go again before I leave, and the weather here, but to be honest, above and beyond all that is just the connections that I'm making while I'm here. That's really what it's all about for me.
I'm interested in the quality of the people who are here as well. No, I mean that. I mean, you're laughing, but, you know, you were, for many years, 8 years, I think you told me last night, PA to the president of Starbucks, global, you know, the PA to the global president of Starbucks, which arguably is the second most important position in the company. You know, we've got remarkable people here.
Mm. Well, before any of my friends at Starbucks hear that, I was actually the PA to the president of International. He ran International.
Pedantics.
Oh, that sounds so small.
It was only for 2.5 years. I was there for 5 altogether, but that's okay.
Okay,
but you were still
overall,
a big cheese.
Yeah.
It was fabulous. It was seriously the best company I probably ever worked for.
But it's interesting. I bet when people are trying to get through to the president, you know, you're the most important person.
I was a gatekeeper. But I loved it.
What are the tricks to get through the PA to the top guy.
Oh, this is
guy.
Good. Everyone, take notes. Yeah. If you want to speak to the right person, there's a trick.
Really, is there other takeaways?
When you get to working with somebody at that level, people pretty much, what I loved about working at that level is people pretty much come in showing respect right away. So as long as people are respectful and have a reason, I would always try to get them in touch with them.
But there must be BS techniques that people try on.
Oh yeah. And I learned the
One of my favorites was I always use first names. Hey, it's Jim in. I never use the last name. And does that work still? Would that work with you? Hey, it's Jim in. It's Dave.
Oh, I'd ask you a few more questions.
Would you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he asked me to give you
but
a call.
But actually, Martin Coles, if you're listening, which I'm sure he's not, but if he was listening, he actually enjoyed talking to a lot of people. Right. So he made it easier for me. But if I found somebody that I knew he didn't want to talk to, what usually ended up is I'd become their friend. And I'd kind of like sit and chat with them for a while. And let me pass the message on. And I just kind of end up being the messenger between us.
But you,
and he'd never really get to him. But he'd feel like he did because he'd talk to me instead.
You were saying your life was so busy when you were doing that job that you would get one email every minute.
One email a
minute.
And
you would have to run to the bathroom.
I ran to the bathroom.
Didn't you have a portable thing you could take with you? I mean, like, I do all my emails in the bathroom. That's like when I take my email with me. It's like I can sit down and relax. It's like...
Yeah, I did.
We're in such a potty place. We got condoms on the radio.
I literally would hold it as long as I possibly could, and then I'd run to the bathroom and run back to my desk.
I'm sure Dr. Michael Colgan would say that's not good for your health.
Yeah,
No. Extremely stressful.
And if you had a highlight so far, you've been here for like, we haven't really, I always think that we're just like day two, really, for me. Like, I haven't really started yet. The program hasn't begun, you know, but is there a highlight yet for you or an observation,
you know,
an aha, a little gem? And for you Aussies, a nugget, which is poop in
Aussies,
Aussie, by the way.
Aussies love that word, nugget. You know, I guess I have to go back to, it's not one thing, it's the people. And as much as I love this place, it's really the connections, including with the staff, because the staff people here, there's probably 20,
that's
25 of them, and they are beautiful souls. I'm making every attempt to know everybody's name, and they just smile. They have the biggest hearts, and I almost feel like I could be anywhere. And just with these same people.
But that's the whole thing about humanity, right? They're the same everywhere, right?
So really...
Strip them down.
It's... Right? And just
what was that term today we heard about skin?
Oh, no, it was...
this is the best term.
Leslie Colgan, she was talking about hormones in the body, and she just said, whatever your skin sack, and or skin bag, I think the idea being color, creed, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
It's just
we're all the same.
The organs and the science inside is all the same.
Yeah.
Skin bags. We're just a bunch of skin bags.
You know, and Dale, you should come over here because we'll talk to you in a sec. So we should squeeze him in there. Dale, we have one of our staff right here, right? But Ben, I want to ask you a question. You're 13. You've been here for 5 days, I think. It's a couple of highlights. What's going on for you since you've been here? This is my son, by the way. Say hi.
Hi.
First time on the show, isn't it?
No.
But you're the one. Every song, the actual intro song, that's you.
That is me, and that was on another episode before.
Yeah, you have to speak louder, though.
I didn't know that was you.
That's him.
On my birthday?
Intro. He says, welcome to the Kick-Ass Life Show. That's
oh, not that. No, that was your voice.
That was me.
Dale, just sit there
but
for a
really
second.
It's really high-pitched, and it sounds...
Well, that's because you were younger then.
Yeah.
Now you're sounding a little bit more, hey, Dad.
Probably right, not in the speaker, but...
Okay, a couple of things. What have you been up to since you've been here?
Scuba diving.
First time?
Yeah. I'm going to get certified on Monday, so I'm really excited for that.
But you did a course with the guy sitting next to you. Why don't you introduce the guy sitting next to you, one of our staff members here?
Yeah, this is Dale. He's a... I forgot the word.
Dive master?
Dive master, that's what it is. And he's a cool guy.
So he actually took you. I mean, you were sitting in your room, and there was this opportunity to go and scuba dive for the very first time. So you had like a minute and a half to choose. Within 10 minutes, you're in the dive shop. An hour later, you're in the water. And then 45 minutes after that, you're actually on your first dive. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, Dale, what is it? Hey, Dale. You got to come in a little bit because you've got the soft voice there.
Okay.
So Dale, tell us about you. Where are you from?
I'm from Dangriga, here in Belize. And I grew up on the islands, and so every Monday to Friday I go to school, and Friday evenings I would come out on the islands and just party every weekend, I guess. Yeah. I just gotta say, is this a condom? Like, really? Like, really?
Is that the closest your face has been to a condom?
Yeah, I know.
We're pushing it closer.
Yeah, that is a condom.
I think that's what you call radio gold.
We have one of the greatest technicians of the world who provided this condom. So Dale, so you went to school Monday through Friday and worked on the islands. What was your job when you first started working on the islands?
I actually started raking the beach.
Raking?
Yes.
So you'd rake how many hours a day?
From 5 to 5.
5 to 5?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, in how many years?
Actually for 6 years.
6 years you raked the beach, 5 to 5?
Yes.
And but did you ever, when did the dream of becoming a dive instructor or a dive master, when did that happen?
Well, my dad was the very first dive master of Belize.
Really?
And so, yeah. And so I always wanted to follow in his footsteps. So that's what I'm doing now. And ever since then, I'm happy and, yeah, enjoying life and being with everybody, and everybody's so great. I love the guests, and every week is something special and magical. And I am glad to share what I know, and hopefully that everybody can say the same.
And your favorite thing when you're, I mean, like this week you taught Ben. I mean, when you see a kid at 13, and what's that like to help someone step into the unknown of under the water? And I know your first dive, Ben, you saw a nursing shark, turtle. Yeah, I mean, you had some beautiful experiences. But Dale, when you teach someone and lead them from the unknown under the water and see them sort of just sort of wake up down there, what's that like for you?
It's actually heartwarming. I mean, I'm so full of joy, and I can't really explain it, because every time I think about it, it makes me smile.
Aww. Aww. Now we all want to hug him.
Right?
Ignore the condom. Give me a hug. And Dale, if you have, like, right now, when you're here, you're a dive master, do you have, like, some dreams and goals as far as what you want to be doing, maybe 10 years from today, stuff you'd like to do?
Yes, my family and I, we have a private island. It's a family island. And we would like to develop it and just have it for general use. I mean, anyone...
Like,
can,
for tourists, you mean?
Tourists, well, locals... It doesn't really matter. It's just to have that experience that everybody can go on an island,
right?
And just relax and have fun.
Now, how long have you been on Thatch?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. And you've heard the stories here. This island was built from nothing, right?
Yes, yes. When I was growing up, I actually passed the area, and it was nothing more than a little sandbar area and a couple of mangroves. And you had to come on the island to catch hermit crabs to use for bait, but before you reach on the island, there was like a swarm of mosquitoes that would come, and you gotta hurry, grab them, and get back in the boat and drive off. I mean, if you're doing this, hitting it one at a time, you're wasting your time. You gotta be brushing off your hands and your face and everything. And to see how it is now, I mean, that's something.
Is that amazing? Do local people talk about how crazy it was that this guy, from nothing, built this beautiful island that's a mile long? We have 28 staff living on the island. There's 31 guests on the island right now. I mean, we had this beautiful lobster feast tonight. I mean, some exotic foods. Mm-hmm. I mean, do locals think this is like, is it insane what they did?
Yes, yes. Every time they pass, they say, you know what? I remember it so differently. And now it's just beautiful and amazing. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, you gotta experience it for yourself to actually know what I'm saying.
And if you wanted, like, someone, I mean, we have 167 countries listening.
Wow.
A lot of countries. And if you wanted to sort of tell someone around the world why they should come and visit Belize and visit you here, like, say, not maybe Thatch, but even Dangriga or this arena, what is it about Belize that you think is magical?
everything actually, because Belize is an adventure. I mean, there's the inland and the coastline, the keys, the island life. So if you want to go inland in the jungle, you can. I mean, there's a lot of different wildlife. But if you also want to relax and be in paradise, you can come out on the islands and just relax, take a pina colada on the beach and and watch the sunset. And to me, that's also great. I mean, the experiences that you can have and Belize has to offer, it's unlimited, actually.
Yeah.
It's very amazing. Different cultures makes up Belize what it is today.
Because it's really it's a smelting pot of culture, right?
Yes.
And talk about some of the languages. How many languages are in Belize? How many languages do you speak specifically?
Specifically, I can speak the Creole. That's the main language here. It's broken English.
So give us a sample. Sort of talk to us, say a sentence about, you know, what you love about Belize in your local Creole.
I like everything about this place because, I mean, the food alone is nice and everything there. And culture-wise, I mean, it's just wicked. Yeah, it's cool.
Wicked. That's Creole.
Yeah, yeah, Creole, yeah.
And so when the guys are speaking on the island and you don't understand a word, what's that? Is that the same thing as Creole, but it's more dialect?
Yeah.
Awesome. And, so do you think people should come visit Belize?
Of course they should.
All right, awesome.
Especially right. Tach Key, though.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great
I just gave him
here.
$20 right there. All right, so let's move around a little bit. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Sudi. I'm originally
from Iran. From Iran.
Yes, and I came from Minneapolis.
Now, talk about when did you leave Iran? Persia, the wonderful culture of Persia.
Yes, I left Iran in 1983.
So how old were you?
I was 13.
Wow. So that's a big shift.
Yes.
And what was that? So talk a little bit about the Persian culture. What is it? How do you describe the Persian culture?
It's very, very friendly. It's very welcoming. It's very warm. At the same time, it's in your face. They're in your business. They ask questions. They want to know everything about you. And a lot of food involved most of the time.
Great eating, right?
Great eating, yes.
Have you been there?
I've not been to Iran, but I spent a lot of time in the region. But would I also be right in saying that it's very traditional in terms of family values and what's expected from you as a daughter?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, very much so.
And was it hard to cross that bridge from, you know, growing up in Iran, suddenly you're in Minneapolis?
No, I actually spent a lot of time in Europe. I lived in Germany mostly, spent some time in England before I could come to the States. And then when I arrived in U.S., I actually came to Dallas before I made it to Minneapolis. I was lucky enough to have traveled a lot with my family. So I had, you know, lived summer times in south of France and Germany. So I was a little bit more familiar, but still the lifestyle was very different. The values were very different. Things that were normal for the kids my age were absolutely forbidden for me. So it was kind of
like
what?
Give us a what's for what was
having a boyfriend. Yeah. That is absolutely not.
What would happen if you had a boyfriend at that time?
Well, I would be disowned. I would be locked up in my room, and you know, it's not allowed.
Right.
Period. All of my rights would be taken away. There's no school. There's no activity. Nothing.
Is that more? Is it sari law? What's it called? The
Sharia. No.
What are you?
It's not Sharia in Iran.
No. Okay. Don't worry. Wrong question. Okay. But the how did you end up here? What happened? How did you end up sitting right here with us, like having
that
a great night?
That is a good question.
Can you do a little Irish accent?
I cannot.
Yeah, come on. I think you can. I think there's a little Irish accent.
I can now.
Can you do a little Irish? We should have a little Irish fight. Jump in.
I do. I listen to your podcast. So once I heard
our podcast, really. Remember, it's nothing to do with me. It's ours.
Yes,
we own it, right?
You and me. Our podcast.
Yeah.
And when I found out about this trip, I thought, well, I have got to go.
How did you find out? On the podcast?
On the podcast, yes. I thought I have to go. And at the same time, I had a panic attack because I thought of all the people that you always hang around and are your friends. These are highly accomplished people. They've done a ton of stuff. They're very influential. And here's little old me with nothing to offer. What on earth am I thinking coming out here? And then I thought, nope, David always says you surround yourself, the five people, the kind of life you want to have. And I thought, well, these are the people I want to be around and these are the people I want to meet. So I'm going to go on this. And I asked a lot of my friends to come with me and nobody was willing to come with. And actually, I missed the deadline of booking the trip and I ended up sending an email to Denise and saying, you know, I clearly...
Great, Denise. Thank you, by the way. Let's say thanks to Denise.
Yes,
thank you, Denise.
Yes. I missed the deadline, but is there any way that I can come? And, you know, financially, I can only afford to share a room with someone. And lo and behold, she came back. There was one spot available and here I am.
And really, know. I mean, because I heard from a number of the people here from the show who said yes. They heard it. They had the same trepidation, maybe anxiety, the same fear. Guys, girls, equally. I've spoken mm-hmm. to a lot who are here. Some were ridiculed by their friends, right? And told, you're insane. Who's this guy? Maybe he's right. an idiot, whatever, right? But the fact is you're here right now. This is day three for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or starting of day three. What's your experience been like? What's happened? What's going on for you? Any... Has it been worth the trip?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's so much to take in between just the island itself. A lot of the activities we've done. Obviously, the people, they're phenomenal. Like Bart was talking about, the staff, everybody else. There's so many nuggets that I've taken away.
Don't say that to Barb. She's from Australia. So many gems.
Yeah.
You Aussies, block your ears. She's being rude.
So many gems.
Do you understand nuggets in Australia means poop, right? Okay, just yeah, you know.
I heard that first time around.
We started with the condom on the front, now we're talking with all the Aussies. Yeah, go on. Yeah. So gems, what's been a big gem for you?
Actually, one of the biggest ones today.
What's a big nugget?
What's the biggest nugget you've had on the island?
Jesus, no. Tell us your biggest nugget.
Biggest nugget you've had on the island so far.
Was the
did it block the toilet?
Laughter.
Was that?
Laughter.
Laughter.
Laughter. I loved it.
You'd never tell by
today.
This podcast, did you? Well, how much fun it is.
Yes.
It's a bit serious. Yes. So learning how to laugh again?
Yes. It was amazing. It was amazing what it did to me, what it did to everybody else around me, and how easy it was. Yeah. Just how silly.
Do you find it crazy, though, that we have to teach people how to laugh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought I laughed a lot, and I realized, no, I don't. And I'm going to take that practice home with my little girl, who's 11, and just practice that.
But David,
all the time.
You should actually state for the people listening.
Isn't Michael great? He's going to have his own show. I can hear it. You can listen to his voice.
The thing that you said today about how joy, laughter, giggles has diminished over the years and why this afternoon we actually did an amazing session with Jen, which was...
The lovely Jen.
Which was the lovely...
She's looking very hot tonight. Look how hot she looks. Look at her.
Yes.
She look hot right now?
Baby. was that, you know, we did an Indian laughter yoga session. So but explain the build up to that.
Me or you?
Well, you and your statistic.
Well, you know, I mean, what's really going on, and I mean, for everything we teach, you know, there's the anecdotal stuff that you feel and sense, which I've sensed around the world, but then you have the hard data, the stats. We look at, you know, the average child would laugh 400 to 600 times a day. The average adult will laugh less than 20 in a day. And it's just, and we see that statistics are showing that laughter around the world is down almost 60% over the last 50 years, and which is crazy. And so then you ask the questions, well, why? What's going on? What's the reason behind it? And so the program's been designed, mind, body, and spirit, is to align those things, our physical body, our mind, how we think, understanding then that our thoughts really create our reality. How we think is, you know, what's that great saying we use so many times? We don't see the world as we are. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are, right? And so, you know, so many of us are walking around right now and we're seeing a world that really isn't true. We're seeing a world that, I mean, the beauty, the miracles, I know that sounds a little woo-woo, but the miracles, the beauty, the wonder that exist in the world, so many people just don't see. They're getting up and they're focusing simply on the wrong things. So this week, you know, we look at the stats. which is showing this horrendous curve down in laughter. And we're saying, well, what would happen if we open the door up and teach people how to laugh again and show them what's really going on and ask them to really step into the unknown or step into an uncomfortable zone where they go first. They embrace, that whole concept of everyone's waiting for somebody else to go first. You know, hug first, laugh first, love first. And on the island right now, what we see is when we give people permission to step into this concept, everyone, how did it feel for you, opening up like that?
Yeah, it was just crazy.
And yet you have an 11-year-old daughter, and yes. You're going home with a practice to what? To laugh more.
Yes.
To have more joy.
Yes.
To see more wonder.
Absolutely.
And you've been here like 2.5 days.
Yes.
But the truth is, you thought you laughed a lot.
I did.
And here's the
I thought it was great.
One of the stats show that people's thought process around how much they think they laugh is about 75% off of what reality is. In other words, they think they're laughing 75% more than they actually are. That's just the truth, right? So, Jen, tell them what you did.
Very good.
Very good.
Yay!
Very good.
Yeah, we just did a laughter yoga practice. Just reminding people that laughter is a reflex, that it's actually something our body knows how to do, that we learn it when we're 4 months... We don't even learn it. It happens naturally when we're 4 months old.
But explain what it actually is, laughter.
The laughter yoga is faking it till you make it. So it's actually going through practices where we're faking laughter, so using the sounds ho, ha, and he.
And you made that amazing statistic today that something like...
The exercise one? That
yeah,
one?
But it was like 10,000. So, yeah.
Yeah, so faking it till you make it. So our body doesn't know the difference between real or fake laughter. So we can actually fake laughing, and the same chemicals are released into our brain. So by laughing, we can, for 1 minute, whether we're faking it or we're not, we can release the same amount of chemicals into our brain that is equivalent to $10,000 worth of pharmaceutical drugs.
Antidepressants.
As an example, yes.
Yeah.
So it's free drugs. Just
and
laughing.
More, and much more fun.
And I got some today. Yeah.
Now we have a condom on the recording machine, so the whole fake it till you make it doesn't cross every boundary, all right? So sometimes we have to work a little harder at things, all right?
Paul, is this just for comedy value? Does it really block the sound noises?
You bet.
You know, if the sound is crappy, I'm telling you, we're going to come after you.
That's fun.
All right. So, but the truth is, though, the idea that we have to, as a species right now, learn how to reconnect, how to have deeper relationships, and how to laugh. It's kind of like anyone listening around the world right now. I'm sure, maybe if they don't understand the truth, then these programs, are they worth for you? Worth flying? How many hours did you fly?
Let's see. I left 6 a.m. Minneapolis, and I was here, what time? 2:00.
Yeah. So what? Eight hours?
Yes.
9 hours, right?
Yes.
But the truth is, what we found is that most people invest today more on the outside of their body, their clothes, their cars, their makeup, their hair. So your total investment right now, which is what, a couple of grand, $3,000?
Yes.
Was it worth it?
Absolutely.
I just gave her $20 as well, so just so you know.
Well, you're at a lot of $20.
I know. I'm almost out of cash right now. I'm just going to turn this over here. So... Introduce yourself.
My name's Steve Paratori, and I'm from Northern California.
Northern California. Steve, let's give him a round of applause. Yeah, thank you, Ben. You better get in here, Michelle. We see you over there. Steve, do you listen? I'm not even sure. Do you listen to the show?
I've listened to two of your podcasts in preparation for coming here.
Ah.
And impress, and we'll listen to more.
Ah, you don't have to say that. But question
I want $20.
But I want to hear you. Did your night dive tonight?
Yes.
How was it?
It was, couldn't have been better. The water's perfect. So temperature and visibility, best in the, I've dove all over the world and never better. Saw everything I wanted to see and one fish that neither I nor the dive master had ever seen before. So we had to come back and look in the book. We saw a speckled toadfish.
Really?
Which was very interesting.
Did you kiss it?
No kissing. But it was a wonderful dive. You know, I mean, you could come here just to dive, and it would be well worth it.
I know. For myself, I mean, having dove all over the world, I've had some of my best dives here. But So that's your first dive, right?
Yes.
And we're diving a few days from now, 2 days from now, right?
Right.
Are you excited?
Very.
And Michelle, you're diving with us, right?
I am.
You better come over it. We can't hear you all the way back there.
Lordy.
So who are you?
I'm Michelle from North Carolina.
Now, Michelle, you're a mother of three.
I am.
Oh, no. Whoa. Yay! You left your kids at home with your brand new husband.
My brand new husband.
How do you sleep?
I don't know. I Skyped with them. It was so funny. After we did laughing yoga, then I had to just Skype with them immediately. So my roommate and I and the three kids and my new husband all did very good, very good.
Yay!
I could just feel getting in touch with my inner little girl.
My little girl
was playing with my little girl, and it was really sweet.
I got to ask you, what was the process in terms of asking your husband if you can come away for a week without him and say, hey, honey, can you look after the kids for a week?
Brand new husband.
Brand new, yeah.
We're about to have our 8-month anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah, less than a year. That's pretty new.
Yeah. Well, I went to this great event last weekend with David.
And, in Atlanta.
And yes, in Atlanta. And we were having a marvelous time. And Uncle Richard said, I told him, I said, oh, it's too bad you guys didn't have room. And he said, well, you could be my roommate. And I said, okay. I said,
by the way, Uncle Richard is one of our staff members.
Yeah. And then so I said, so he said, well, let me just check with David. And then David said, yeah, we'll make it happen. And I said, Tim, is it okay if I go to Belize? And he said, oh my God, you have to go. And I was—I knew there was a reason I married
Tim,
you.
Tim, we should say Tim, we love you. Tim, you're awesome.
Tim, you rock.
We love you, Tim.
Oh yes, we do. We love you, Tim, because you are you.
So he says, this is like, what, 3 days before the event starts?
Right. So, yeah, I bought my ticket on, so that was Sunday. So I bought the ticket on Sunday and got on.
By the way, this 30-minute show is like at 40 minutes right now, so just so everyone knows. So, yeah. So, hold on. So you bought the ticket, you came here, and you're sleeping in staff quarters.
I am, and I'm loving it. Yeah. I'm having a great time. So, I get a lot
Wi-Fi.
Of alone.
We don't.
We have a lot of alone time.
What is that? I can't believe you said that, Barb. You're unplugging on this island.
No, I haven't used it other than to Skype with the kids.
Got any snorers in the bunks?
The pina coladas were helping me not even notice or care. No, we don't have any snorers from our hotel.
Was the pina colada.
Yes,
the hottest spot north of Havana.
So I'm going to just go around again. People listening, right? There's going to be times in the future when we talk about, hey, listen, you know what? We're going to do an event. It could be on the island. It could be anywhere in the world. And we're going to offer it out to the audience here listening. And each one of you have sort of arrived here miraculously and have some relationship with the show, whether it's only one show or two. But is there anything you'd like, any last words, any last thoughts, anything you want to impart on the world listening right now in your with this condom facing you right now, Michael?
Speaking of condom. Lean in.
Jesus, now I'll do a proper Irish. I'll do a proper Irish accent rather than.
Can you do my mimic of the Saturday show?
No,
tap on the morning.
Oh, it's in the morning. This is Nick. I'm gonna give you a little kick in the arse.
Yeah,
but actually, I have to say, sorry, that was my really bad fake Irish accent. But actually, I am Irish.
Yeah. So Can you actually do an Irish accent?
I have scolded Dave several times saying you gotta stop that terrible Irish accent.
You keep giving me crap.
Well, it's a really bad Irish accent. I keep saying you're insulting an entire nation.
Oh gosh. He's leaving the island tomorrow.
No. But it's great fun. We had that conversation. Said, you know what, keep it up. It's a great bit of fun.
Tell me, keep it up. Speaking of the condom.
But on the serious point, I think you've got to. There's probably about half the people who are here tonight, here on the island, I should say, are people who have come to your programs before and know you, and then there's about another half who have come because of the podcast, which I think is interesting. And it's a great mix. And what I've been surprised at is how open people have been the last couple of days, and everyone's coming for different reasons. Some actually are incredibly happy and sorted and successful, and just want to continue on that journey of self-development. And there's others who have come for specific reasons, and everyone's getting something personal out of it. And I think a lot of it's the interaction, and so much also is about when you leave the island, how much more you will get once you get home, and you don't quite realize what you've learnt during that precious time.
Imagine on day six when we talk.
Exactly.
Was that it for you?
Yeah.
Let's give him a round of applause. Oh, thank you, Michael. Barb, last words of wisdom here.
For me, as David has taught so many of us, sometimes you just have to say yes. And as Daniel, one of the guys here, was saying that, you know, how do you explain to somebody that you paid a bit of money to go to Belize, to far away from where you live, to spend time with a bunch of people you don't know, to do what you have no idea what you're going to end up doing.
Because you got the agenda, right?
No, we had no agenda. We really didn't know anything. But you know what? I know David, and I know what kind of things he does, and I absolutely had to say yes, and I'm so thrilled to be here. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here.
I think it's a round of applause for Barb. All right, Michelle, you're up. Last words of wisdom.
Last words of wisdom regarding coming here too. Well, you know, what if you could go to paradise and hang out with awesome people? What if you could do that? I mean, what if that could happen? And it did, and it does. So I suggest you do that too.
I love your story about you almost couldn't come because you lost your...
Oh, my Lord have mercy. I couldn't find my resident alien
card. Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy. I've been hanging out in North Carolina now for 15 years, and Lord have mercy. Lordy, lordy.
Lordy, lordy.
The Chinese Jamaican Brit saying lordy, lordy.
But you actually have your kids pretending they'd found your... What was it called, the card you lost?
My resident alien card.
And you lost it.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
And so you were stressed out, getting all wigged out. You were like all the wrong energy.
Yes,
and then suddenly you pretended like you found it.
Yeah, so we were looking around in desperation. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I really got to find this
thing. So you actually sent an email to Shell.
I did. I started, you know.
Can't come.
Yeah, I was saying, I don't think I can come. You know, what happens if you don't have your resident alien card? And I was on with American Airlines for an hour. And all this stuff. And then I just got, really, really mad because I realized I'm actually talking about not going to paradise with David Wood. That's just not acceptable at all. So then we just started pretending that we had found it, and everyone was pretending. Like,
so how old
oh my
young,
gosh!
How old was your youngest?
Aha, look
how
at that.
Was your youngest?
Seven. So it was seven, like, 11, and 13.
And they're going, oh my gosh, I found
it. And my new husband. We were all just going, oh, look at that. There it is. It was so obvious. Why didn't I see it? And we were walking around for about 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, there it was. Ta-da! And we were just, and it was a great lesson, though.
I know this sounds very woo-woo, but guess what? This stuff works, right?
This was definitely woo-woo, and it definitely worked. And here we are.
All right, round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. All right, moving on. Words of wisdom, since you've been here. Any little gems, nuggets, words of wisdom, lasting parts?
Yeah, so we talked about how, you all talked about how we laugh so much. And I want to add that I don't think I've ever cried as much as I did today. And in a good way, though. Like,
laugh
tears
crying.
Of inspiration, I would call it. So, like, when we watched the video on the gentleman who has no arms and no legs, and he was just, oh my gosh, I was inspired to just, to the point where I think my shirt got all wet from tears of, you know, just tears of passion, which I think is doesn't happen enough in our
You realize
normal.
That's every Aussie man now is not coming to the next program. We screwed them all up. Every Aussie man, screw that shit. I'm not going there.
Well, real men cry.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
On the island we do. All right, good job. Oh, round of applause. Woo! We'll come to you in a second. My son's struggling for words of wisdom. Say some. You're up. Paul.
I'm up, am I?
The Condom Meister.
The Condom Meister. I can highly recommend the fishing trips here. They're absolutely second to none.
Oh, man.
The water skiing's a bit dodgy in the morning, but no, it's been like a fish out of water for me, and it's been...
Excuse all the fish analogies.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm determined to get out there before I go home. But no, it's been a remarkable experience. I think just being here, the atmosphere of Belize, the island, but most importantly, everybody that's, you know, you don't know anybody. It's kind of weird. But by day three, it's very comfortable, and it's been an amazing experience so far.
How long did it take before you stopped saying, I'm going to get out of here as soon as I can? Was it like a day and a half?
I haven't stopped yet. By Sunday, probably.
Okay.
No, I think the first 2 days were probably...
A little hard.
Questionable.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't have the agenda or itinerary, didn't know what we were doing. It was, but I have to say it's been life-changing. I don't mean that in a dramatic way, but it has been.
That's a Brit speaking.
Well,
actually,
Irish Brit. Absolutely.
An Irish Brit who's lost his accent.
No, I've really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Really enjoyed it.
Woo! And last words of wisdom over here.
I guess I would say, since I have a daughter, it was very difficult to make all of the arrangements and going back to just ask, and everybody stepped up. My former husband, my family, everybody's sharing the time to take care of my daughter so I can be here. So you really do need to ask to make
for
it
help.
Happen.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
What's your husband's name?
Hadi.
Hadi? Should we say
Say
is he a hottie?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, hottie.
Hey, hottie.
We should say hello to is my daughter, because she also listens to your show.
Oh, does she? What's her name?
Her name's Jonon.
We love you, Jonon. Oh, yes, we do. We love you, Jonon, because you are you.
Hey, Jonon, thanks for sending your mom. You come next time. Jen, you're up. Words of wisdom from the Yogi, Jen, Zen, Laughter,
Jen.
Goofy, Weirdo.
Here's my words of wisdom. You ready?
Yeah.
Very good. Yay!
You know, Ben, I'm going to put you on the spot. Here we go. My son, 13, it's about 12 hours past his bedtime.
I'm kidding.
What do you think about the island? I mean, you said to me, I heard you say that one of the best days of your life, your entire life, happened when?
2 to 3 days ago.
What? But you did something in that day. There was something you
did everything.
You referenced the movie, and you laid in bed. Mm-hmm. We were laying on a hammock. What were we doing in the hammock? It was like 12 o'clock at night.
What?
What was happening up in the hammock above our casita?
We were singing really loud.
What were we singing really? In fact, the staff woke him up. What were we singing?
It started at reggae, and then went to Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and we finished it up with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Maybe we should end this podcast with Bohemian Rhapsody. But tell me, why was that one of the best days of your whole life?
Just because I said yes to everything.
Everyone's got to get this right.
You need to take the just out of that sentence.
But no, I love it. So you said yes to what? Everything.
Yeah.
So
like Kurt came over and was like, hey, you want to go water skiing 5 in the morning? Yeah. Sure.
So you went water skiing first then?
Yeah, water skiing 5, and then went to pick up the people with Big D.
So you spent the whole day on the island, and you did something for the first time in a car.
Drove a shift stick.
You drove a shift stick in Belize down dirt roads in our brand new van.
Yeah, it was so sudden. We were just driving down the road and like, can you drive a shift stick? I'm like, what? Because Lyndon might not have been able to take the second truck with everyone's luggage, just filled up with like a bunch of like big two like bottles of water and gasoline. I'm like, you want me to drive that?
That's a shift
stick. So he told you how to drive.
We switched out of the car and I drove down like the entire road.
It's amazing.
All the way down to the office in a shift stick.
All right. So here we go. Now what was the third thing?
Well, then it was Canada Day.
Canada Day. We had the whole night, and then we sat up in the thing and sang, right?
With the silent fireworks.
Ah, that's right. All night with our laughs. But let's end this podcast with Ben leading us in a song, because this is one of his favorite songs that we sang in the hammock, and this is where we're... So you're off.
What does everyone have the words?
Well, we don't, because they'll jump in.
We'll all join in.
Here we go. Okay. We'll join in as soon as you start.
You need to
hold on. Let's all say it together. We'll see you on the other side. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
We'll see you on the other side.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide.
No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy, because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anywhere the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. To me.
Oh no, it's not over yet.
Boom, boom.
Where's the big one?
Do, do.
Just kill the man, put a gun against his head, pull my trigger, now he's dead.
Mama, life had just begun.
Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
That was kick-ass.